Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you all on this blessed Sunday. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And once again, I am grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who has given me opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ again with you. I thank God for all you listening to the broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to the broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any question about the lesson, call us at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over the air, contact us at an email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWRD, the number 2, MAN at gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we'll give it to you. Glory be to God. So, thank God for another blessed day in Christ Jesus. Thank God for all of you that's listening. This is Sunday. And as we have told you all before, I think as of last week, for those of you that had listened on the broadcast, Heart to Heart with Brother Lee and Handmaidens are now on Saturdays and Sunday night at 7 o'clock. So this is Sunday night. This means it's Heart to Heart with Brother Lee and Handmaidens. Thank God for all you've been listening. And as we wait for my brother to come on, I want to speak to you about something for a minute here, and it's called commitment. And we as believers in our prayers, we should be praying to God about, Lord, help me in my commitment to you. You know, when you haven't been doing what you're supposed to be doing in the Lord, there are some who are believers in Christ, having, you know, and claim to be believers, having not been involved in any work of the Lord. And there are some, you know, who are claiming to be believers that don't have a mind to honor a commitment unto the Lord. You know, when you're committed to a thing, you show your faithfulness, your dedication. Amen. And, you know, hey, I've even had to pray for myself at times to do a rededication to my to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because remember, not only are we a children of God, to those of you that are born again, but you are a servant of the living God. And I have, you know, seen people who profess to be, quote, believers of Christ, show no commitment to God, no spreading of the gospel, of any of that. And just, you know, people that go to service, say a couple of hallelujahs and go home. That's it. Amen. And so, you know, that's something, you know. And, you know, you would think, okay, is anybody convicted? You know, and that's another thing about the Lord, to show of your moving in a step closer to God. And I notice in my own life personally that the closer you get to God, the more you become more spirit conscious and you become more conscious of things. Okay. And no doubt in my mind that sometimes some of God's people don't make an attempt to come to them because they know that the word is going to show them something about themselves. This is something that the Lord shared with me back in the year 2000. Where he told me that's why many of his people would not study his word, because they're afraid that his word is going to show them something about themselves. So people think that they're getting away scot-free. Hey, what I don't know won't hurt me. And so they feel like, hey, if I don't get in the word, hey, I can't see I'm doing anything wrong. So my defense would be, I didn't know. Well, that's not going to ride people, because God's not a dummy. Amen. We don't serve a dumb God, okay? Our God is highly intelligent, more intelligent than anybody you'll come across. So that's not going to fly. But our commitments. Now, we have shown commitment to other things. We have shown commitment to our jobs, okay? Here on this earth, we have shown dedication And we have showed that, hey, faithfulness. You know, many of us, if you talk to your supervisors, will say, hey, they're one of the greatest workers that I got because they come to work every time. And if I know they miss, it's something up. But when it comes to talking about doing the work of the Lord, then we can't come with the same resume. Amazing, ain't it? And the question is, are you convicted? Well, you know, you have some people say, well, God understands and he knows my heart. Well, that's a cop-out, okay? That's a cop-out. You know, like I told y'all before, I even started dealing with the internet and doing anything on the internet. I went a time not really, quote, doing anything from the Lord. And it got to a point I got convicted, okay? And I had to repent, okay? And be about my Father's business. So, hey, Christian, you out there, you know, I mean, you go to service, listen to a few preaching, do a couple of hallelujahs and go home. Is that it? Most definitely not. Okay. And some people think that the title minister or pastor or preacher is what is needed to show your, quote, commitment to the work of the Lord. You don't have to be a pastor or minister. If you are a born-again believer, you are a servant of the living God. You have a work to do. Amen? And I've come across, I've seen people through the years that think that the only work of the Lord there is with people that is called pastors or preachers. And that is not true. That's farthest from the truth. Amen? Hey, if you're a born-again believer, guess what? God wants you to give his word. Okay? And some of you have been in situations where you could have given the word of God, but what happened? You shut up. You shut up. And you, some of you have this mentality of thinking that I got to have a preacher with me or got to be a preacher around. No, not necessarily so. Listen, if a life was dying and it needed to hear the word of salvation, you think God say, hey, you can't tell them nothing because you ain't a preacher? If you're a born-again believer, God wants and expect you to try to lead them to Christ. But we have too many people who professing to be believers because they get very offended and upset when you bring this point up. Okay, they say, well, God knows my heart and God knows I believe him. If you were to be a fly on the wall and walk with them in their everyday life, after the church service, they don't hardly bring up too much or nothing about Jesus. Amazing, ain't it? Amen. Because, see, our life supposed to reflect and show something. Just like, for example, you don't have to always run to people and say, I'm a Christian, okay? I mean, it's nothing wrong with letting people know you're a Christian, but some people think that they got to always set it up front. No, they supposed to see something about our lives, okay? How can you tell if a Muslim is really a Muslim or Islam? You watch how they live, right? Some of you know some of the things they go by. And you watch and see if they're going to live by it. Well, that's what many people are doing with us. They watching and seeing, okay, how we live. And so, you know, we have a job to do, okay? We're supposed to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, not sitting there being hush-hush and quiet because we feel like we ain't no preacher, okay? I mean, I'm telling y'all something that has been worn out. And you got a lot of people with this mentality thinking this. That if you ain't got a title or a pastor or a minister or something like that, you just go to service and go home. That's it. Amen. That's their thinking. And you're wrong. Once again, if you have truly accepted Jesus Christ as Lord, man or woman, you are not just a child of God, but you are a servant of God. Amen. Hallelujah. And you have a work to do. And it's not for you just to go to church service, once again, saying a few hallelujahs and a couple of amens, and then go home. It's more than that. One of the reasons why the Word of God tells us in the Bible, in the book of Timothy, to study to show thyself approved, it is for your benefit, your help, and also for you to help others. See, you're learning the Word of God, and that's not just merely just for you, but for to help others. Amen? See, sometimes we have to think on both sides, if you want to look at it and call it that way, or term it like that. Many things is done not just for you, but for you and to you to help someone else. You understand what I'm saying? But you have many people who claim to be believers of Christ doing nothing. Now, some people may get upset at this message I'm saying. They may say you're judging, you're criticizing. You can say that all you want to. No, I'm not trying to do that. What I'm doing is giving you the straight truth on that. Hey, to you that's listening and you know you haven't been doing it, you know who you are, okay? I mean, I'm not calling anybody out to say, hey, call in and tell me who you are. No, you know, okay? Has the spirit of conviction come upon you, okay? I mean, you know, when we're supposed to be doing, you know, that's supposed to be a conviction that coming. If a conviction is not coming and you settle all this time, I have to say this, something is bad wrong, okay? Something is bad wrong. Amen. We have a work to do. We have to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ and give this word to a dying world. And so even when some proclaiming Christians could give the word of life to a soul that's dying or the word of healing to a soul in sickness, they'd be quiet. In fact, they're more quick to speak what the world says than what the word says. You get what I'm saying? Hallelujah. And sometimes it kind of baffles me at times how some professing believers, knowing that you have a work to do, can be so complacent and not doing anything. Okay? So that should be our prayer. We should rededicate ourselves and think about a commitment. What a commitment is, a commitment to the Lord. In your commitment, you're being faithful and dedicated. So that's what we ought to be to the Lord. Amen? So let me pass my brother on here. God bless, brother.
Well, that's a joy again to salute you in the name and the awesome and most wonderful, majestic name of all, the Creator, the Maker, and our Redeemer. So I'm glad to again greet you and salute you, brother in Christ. Glad to share about some goodness of God. And I was just thinking about listening to what you were saying. That scenario has been on my mind, and basically maybe it should be maybe in the mind of all believers, and making about a full commitment and dedication. And some of it should be, as Revelation said, I counsel thee to do thy first work over, return to thy first love. And so I think sometime in making our commitment, and we slide backwards instead of moving forward, and we have to recommit ourselves and reconsecrate ourselves fully that his will might be done in our lives. But that's been on me all this year about recommitment and fully dedicating your lives to his service and about that. And so the angel's message said something about that. And message 80, let me see, 86 and 53. The angel has brought a reminder to us, in particular the Church of Christ, of the Elijah message, and to all believers, to sort out a shake you, wake you up, stir you, and bring you to remembrance. Now, this is what he says. The angel brought this message quite a few years ago, and he said, in this angel's speaking to Brother Draves and giving it to the church or his restored church and believers, he says something very particular in message 86 and 53. I was looking at, if you have the word of the Lord, the angel's message at hand, he says in 86 verse 53. Shalom. And where's my, I got some stuff on this table here.
Message 86 and 53.
Yes.
86 and 53, the word of the Lord. says, some try to serve the Lord standing afar off. Some fail to fully dedicate their lives to his service. They seek to serve two masters. Until they meet the Lord face to face and repent of their error, they will not fully find peace.
Maybe that was touching something that you were saying.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, that's, sir?
Amen. I agree, brother. I agree. The commitment, we have fallen short. And it's amazing, brother, that some of God's people don't have a mind to keep the commitment. And that's even more amazing. Because,
well,
brother, they feel
that
like
happens.
if you ain't got a title, like called pastor or minister, because that's what's looked at a lot these days. You know, when you're called a pastor, a minister, a preacher, that's translated to many people, oh, that's a showmanship that he has to be committed to a work. But if you're a born-again believer, not only is you a child of God, but you're also a servant of God, which means that you have a work to do.
Yeah, I was mentioning that today about the whole purpose of the body of Christ and how the whole body of believers in Christ have a mission and an assignment and a calling upon their life. And we misunderstand, misplacing our thought, thinking that the people who are in leadership, who are called to ordain ministries offices, are the only one that have the call of being witnesses and servants for the kingdom of God and to be active in that. And that we are called, the whole body of redeemed, saved believers, 1 Corinthians 12 talks about it, that we're fitly joined together, Ephesians says, for the kingdom of God. And they have a work inside of their spirits, a calling, any disciple, to make a commitment to what God has called each of them to do as building the kingdom and helping the vision of the Lord. So I think that people have to be awakened that the body of Christ is what it is. It's called the body of Christ. I think people don't understand that when you are part of the family of God or the kingdom of God, and Paul applied to us as the family of priests, the family of disciples and servants and sons, but he also revealed to us that we are referred to as the body of Christ, and he's the head of his body. And every part of that body have a particular function, spiritual function. And that body of Christ is made up of many members, and they have a mission-oriented life, mission-oriented call upon their lives. First of all, they're called to be witnesses and disciples. So, but anyway, thank God for that reminder of that we have to recommit, not just commit ourselves when we first make Jesus Savior and Lord, but along the way have to recommit, rededicate, because sometimes we'll slip or we'll get slow for our negligence. And so we have to do like any other thing, recommit, reconsecrate, and say, here I am, Lord. I've been kind of slack. I've been kind of slow for negligence. So I'm coming like I never come before to yield myself, to recommit and rededicate and sanctify myself to the will of God. That's what the messenger said in 86:3. He reminds us. When he brings this angelic message, he reminds the body, especially us in the Elijah Church. He says, by the way, let me remind y'all, some seek to serve the Lord afar off. A little far off. Some are seeking to serve two masters. That won't work. Make up your mind. Make up your mind. You're not a part-time. You're not a part-time lover and a part-time Christian. Jesus said, I want your whole heart. That's what he really wants. He said, I just want your own whole heart. Just like you want the whole heart of your husband or your wife or whatever you're to, is I want your whole heart and attention. You are now my servants. You are now mine, and I'm yours. And so I just want your whole heart and desire. And sometimes, you know, something gets between us and pull us away from our prime director, you know. So here we go. Thank God. Yesterday, we ended with talking about Psalms 8, verse 1. Adonai, Yah, our Lord, how beautiful, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens above all the galaxy and universe. Lord, great God, almighty Yah, our Lord, Adonai, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And we talk a little bit about the purpose of a name, the reason everyone has a particular name identification. And in heavenly and spiritual things concerning God's working, we talk a little bit about the seven revealed names of Jehovah, the God that revealed in the Old Testament. And in his creation, he's referred to Elohim, the sovereign, mighty creator. Next, he reveals himself as El Elyon, God Most High, God Most High. Then secondly, thirdly, Jehovah, or Yah, the unchangeable intimate God, Jehovah Raphael. When they translate it out of the Hebrew or out of the Greek, in the 13th century, after the 13th century, remember there was no J. I keep telling English people that there was no J in the Greek or the Aramaic or the Hebrew language, the written language. There was no letter J, nor even in our language. So when we used the word J, it came later on after the 13th to 14th century. So even Jesus' name that we call today in J, there was no J in the Hebrew. There was no J. So what was his name in the Hebrew? There's no J. J came later on in the English language. But in the birth of the church, at the first 14, 15 years, in the, what we call, to a European language came about, that was no J in our phonetic order of things. There was no letter J. So what was this Jesus called before the J got into the English language? What was his name? Well, we think that when we say Jesus, that was what he was really called because our language is easy. But in the Hebrew, as a child, he was not called Jesus. What are you talking about? I'm not an American. I'm not a European. We are Hebrew. You know, we keep forgetting that. So when we remind people, the original revealed names, like Elohim, he said, and the Lord Elohim created the heavens and earth. That's what he said, Elohim, the creator. That's what they mean. El Elyon, God is the Most High, Abraham says. Then when the name of Moses came, he is Yah, Yah, the eternal God, the unchangeable God, and we translate it into Jehovah, intimate God, Jehovah Rapha in the English language, and Jehovah Jireh, my provider, El Shaddai. He said to Abraham, I'm El Shaddai. Be perfect before me. El Shaddai. That's what he's saying to Abraham. I'm El Shaddai. Then he says, they trains Adonai, mean Lord and Master. Every time you see Lord in the Bible, they mean Adonai, Jehovah Rapha. So we was talking about the revelation of this person, his name, his character, his nature, God revealing his different works to in the Old Testament, how he revealed himself through different names. Okay, today, Talk Block Radio, we have been given the privilege as we offer ourselves to Jesus and the Holy Spirit to acknowledge him this night, as we have been given the divine permission and with his opportunity given to us to broadcast to anyone that's out there listening. Welcome. Welcome. Welcome to to the good news, the voice crying in the wilderness, the 12th hour, from disciples and followers in the Church of Christ with Elijah message, out of 608 Lacey Road, Independence, Missouri. All right, let's see. We talked a little bit about the name and the majestic of the one true living God. Now we're going to talk about the revelation of God, of the Father in the flesh as a son or as a redeemer. And we're going to understand about Jesus, the one we call Jesus, the Son of God, the manifested Father in the flesh, the Son of Man, the seed of Abraham. We're going to talk about his mission in coming as a human being, flesh and blood, into the earth, and what was his first part of his mission in his first coming as the Lamb of God. When Jesus, what we call Jesus, his first part of his mission in coming as a flesh and blood man was basically coming as a sacrifice, a Lamb of God, the Lamb of God, to redeem us. And his work was redemption and reconciliation and justification to redeem us, to deliver us from the cursed nature of Adam's sin and our own sin. So now as a redeemer and as the Lamb of God, and as the justifier and also the reconciler, you'll find this in Romans chapter 5 and Galatians 3 in Romans chapter 8, when you want to talk about Jesus being the Savior, the Lamb, the Redeemer, the sin offering, the sacrifice for our iniquity to redeem us from the curse of sin and death. And his sacrifice was needed because he was the Immaculate, perfect Lamb of God, conceived by the Holy Spirit, not under the sin nature. He had no sin in his nature or in his action. And he was the Lamb of God. And he's referred to as the Redeemer, the Lamb, the Reconciler, the Justifier, the only Deliverance. So when we get that straight, that he came as the Lamb of Yahweh, the Lamb of the Most High, the Lamb, precious Lamb. This is why John the Baptist, who was a, went before him to open and prepare the people to receive Israel, to receive the long-expected, waited deliverer and Lamb of God. And John the Baptist was a voice and was the one who was to go before him to prepare people that they would receive him when he come, his first coming and also his second coming. That people do not know that John comes a second time to prepare Jesus for the second coming of Christ. That part has kind of hid, had been hid from many people, that Elijah, John, in the spirit of power of Elijah, as Luke 1:17 says, come again in Malachi 4:5, Matthew 17:9-13, that John, the resurrected John, has a second mission to prepare people for the bride, a bride for Christ's second coming, in the first coming as the Lamb of God. Now, we're going to talk about some of the works that he established, having established what he called a people under his covenant blood, and he called them, when they translated the word into church, the English people, out of the Greek, they established this covenant born-again believer. They called them the church. Now, the word church is awfully misunderstood and misapplied by many people. And so when they translated this word, the original redeemed Holy Ghost people in the first and second, they did not use out of that language the word church. But when they translated this people out of the Greek into the Gentile world, and the language called them to call a called out ecclesiastical people, a sovereign people, who were called the church. But the original apostles and church did not refer to themselves as a church or the church. And so we need to understand the background of this, how we got translating a language and calling us the redeemed church of Jesus Christ. That's what people call the redeemed body of believers in Christ, or the redeemed church of the living God. Upon this rock I'll build my people. Now, The word is church is so misapplied that often I refer to use called the family of God or the body of Christ or the redeemed in Christ, because the word church is often attached to religions, rituals, and formality, and misunderstanding what Jesus and the apostles meant by the church, the body of believers. So here we go. Today, when Jesus came in the earth, he elected a team. And this team was first team he needed to plant the kingdom, bring life and deliverance. He chose 12 men to be in his team, because to accomplish the work, he needed a team. And this team was called his disciples and apostles. The team. And we need to really, really, really comprehend.
Kind of far away there, brother.
Okay. The team.
Okay, we can hear you now.
Now, I want you to understand that in every part of life, or any organization, a business, or government, there has to be a team. A team, they often call, in government, they call them in a company or in a government or in anything, they have to have an operating team. There has to be CEO or the operation manager, sub-managers, and all of that kind to operate. Jesus chose his team, and he went about and chose 12. 12 is a number for government, is a governmental number. The number 12 represents a government. And so the Lord chose 12 stones, chose men in that time, in the Hebrew culture, there was no thing as men, women being in the leadership role. That changed when the revelation of God's total plan through Apostle Paul began to reveal that the place that all people, men and women, have a special place in the body of Christ. Not like the Old Testament, when women could not do this, could not approach the Holy, could not go into the Holy Place, they couldn't go there, they were not permitted. We're not going to get into that today. But it changed in the New Testament, the position that women have in the body of Christ. Now, women were not called to leadership roles, but in the Old Testament, sometimes God sovereignly chose women to stand in a leadership role in certain times, at certain times for a special reason, certain times for a special reason. The original foundation of the body of believers' leadership were all men. All the apostles and disciples originally were men. Later on, after Apostle Paul came into the church and began to teach and unfold the mystery of God, we see women playing a major part in the work of God. Even though they was not head nor the leader, but they played an initial leadership role in certain areas. Now, I want to say this because this is quite misunderstood when we're going to talk about the mission of raising up a church or a body of believers. And now we're going to talk about something very important. Warfare, spiritual warfare. Do anybody understand when we come over to the New Testament in particular that there is a spiritual battle against the church of the redeemed? Now, Satan, when he got kicked out, fall down to the earth, he started to deceive and make war with the people of God. And he started with Adam. And since that time, Satan, the fallen cherubim, who rebelled, was kicked out into the area of the earth. He started war with the body of believers in the earth to the covenant people. And he started first with Adam. And it has been going on to war against the people of God. So now it's been a spiritual war. Satan, his demons, and devils and his hybrids, the 28th chapter of Ezekiel, the 14th chapter of Isaiah, talks about his downfall. In the end, he was cast out to the ends of the earth, into the realm of the galaxy, the second heaven. And he was cast out into the second heaven. And he's been ruling in the second heaven and sending his demons and devils on the earth. Now, to operate on the earth, second chapter of Ephesians, talks a little about that, and also Jesus said when he was on earth, I saw Satan falling from heaven in the 10th chapter of Luke. Jesus spoke, said, I saw that devil falling from heaven as a lightning. He was kicked out. He was so fast, it was just like lightning. Boom. And one-third of the rebellious angels were kicked out like lightning. Boom. So quick. And, Michael led a war of angels to fight this rebellious one, and he kicked him out. It was so fast, so quick, it was like lightning, Jesus says. Hallelujah. And he was kicked out down here. So we've been at war, Satan and his demons, and evil spirits have been at war with the people of God in the earth and with all people to divide, conquer, and to deceive and destroy. The nature of Satan, we find Jesus talking about the nature. Satan come to kill, steal, and destroy. Then he talks about what Satan is, his nature is. 8:44 John, Satan is the father of all lies and deception. He talks about another about Satan in the 12th chapter of Revelation. Satan come to accuse and condemn the people of God. He's an accuser. Every time Christians get tempted to do something, that lying accuser come to you in your mind or your dreams or whatever to try to hinder you. Now let's go. The battle against man started and still goes. And there are millions of evil spirits in the earth dealing with the fallen nature of man. And Satan rule over many nations. Many people are not under understanding why the kingdom of God has to come and be preached. Because the kingdom of this world is controlled by Satan. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Satan is the God over most of all of the nations of the earth. Now, I know when I make this statement, and I can prove it by the scripture when Jesus and the apostles, that Satan is the ruler of most all of the governments in the earth, all the hierarchies, and most of the rulers and nations. He is the ruler. Is that partially true, Brother Nate?
That's true, brother. Amen.
So when people say God is in charge of everything, that's not quite accurate, is it?
No, it's not. No, it's not. Not at all.
So that takes all the responsibility from man when you say God is in charge. If he's in charge of everything, I don't have to do nothing then. You know, is that the case? That would sound like he's taking all the responsibility from mankind, but that's not true. Jesus said, upon this rock I build my church. And the reason I'm building my church is to war and to redeem my people and bring them in and war and overthrow Satan and the power of darkness. Now, let's read something. In the Old Testament, an example is given about the war between good and evil, about the nation of Israel and all the other nations who are under Satan. All the other nations were under the power of Satan. Israel was God's chosen elect people, the one true God, Yah, Elohim, the Redeemer, chose Israel to be special people in the earth. And they were called out and chosen because of faith of one man called Abraham. And God said, I saw this one man in the earth. He was perfect and right, and he served the one true God. And he chose Abraham and said, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to make your people as the sand of the seashore. I'm going to choose them to be my special people, my ambassadors in the earth. So here, now Satan began to make war with Israel because they were God's chosen people and to destroy them and lead them away and constantly making them backslide, servant of a god. And Satan continued to influence nations to seduce Israel away from the one true God. And all the Bible is about a war, Israel being pulled away into a false worship of false gods. And Israel constantly being backslidden, being chased and corrected, and prophets warning them, come back to the true God. He's jealous over thee. He loves thee. Return to him and worship him. And Israel keep on backsliding and being, they'll go back and serving sin and wickedness and learning the evil from all these other nations and these pagan and demons and devils. All the other nations heard demons. And I got to say this, all the other nations was in darkness and walked in according to their own mind and own will, and they walk according to the influence of the demons that was ruling over them. So today, I've got a shocker for you, that Satan, even though he doesn't have all power, He has mighty power. And because Adam sinned and gave him control of the earth and over the nations, he's stealing. Satan is still ruling, influencing most of all the nations. The only people he's not ruling over is the redeemed body of Christ. Help me out, brother. Help me out a little bit on this.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
The only people that Satan is not having dominion or rule over is the redeemed body, born again, Holy Ghost, blood washed, saved believers in the gospel. Now, you may say the natural Jews is not being affected by Satan. That's true. That's not true. See, because the natural Jews, if they are God's charged people, they are not redeemed. Correct me on that, brother.
That's right. 100% right on that, brother.
Let me say that again. God loves his chosen people, Israel, who have been scattered into all the world. They're the natural chosen people, but they're not his redeemed people yet. If you don't believe what I'm saying, read what Romans chapter 6 says, Romans 3, Romans 5, Galatians 3. Just in case you think, I don't know what I'm talking about, I don't want to offend nobody, but why don't you read the Bible, what Paul says in Colossians 1 and 2, Ephesians 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, then go on and read Galatians 1, 2, and 3, then read Romans, beginning at chapter 3, all the way to chapter 8, and that would clear it up for you. So you won't have to laugh at me. Okay. All right? Read it for yourself. I gave you the scriptures. If you want to find out what I'm saying is accurate and true, go read it for yourself. Study the scriptures. The Jews or Israel left, forsook, and rejected Jesus, rejected the prophets, and they were cut off and scattered into the earth for over 25 years because they broke the covenant of God and forsook him, and they were scattered to all the Jewish people, the Israel people, right? Am I correct?
Amen.
And so they are not redeemed from their sins. Now, let me get this straight, because there is a lot of teaching on the TV by Israel and Jews are God's chosen people. That's actually true. But they leave out an important part. They are not yet redeemed. There are some Jewish people now, by Jewish blood of faith, are coming to Jesus as the Messiah. Around the earth, there are few Israel Jews coming, accepting Jesus Christ as their Redeemer. They call him the Holy One, the Messiah. They are accepting him as Lord and Redeemer and being redeemed. Now, that's a few Jews that are coming, slowly coming to him as the Messiah. But the majority of the Jewish and Israel nation still are blind, cut off, and reject Jesus 2,000 years as their Savior and Redeemer. They still reject the gospel. They still reject. And so that call, they are not redeemed. Or am I correct? They are not redeemed.
Amen.
They're not redeemed from their sins or their nature. So when they die, they can't go to heaven. They can't go into heaven because there's only one blood, one Redeemer that can get you into heaven. Am I right?
That's right. Amen.
Correct me, please. Amen. In fact, I can be wrong about some things, so I want you to correct me. Now, we're going to talk about the war that Satan has been warring in the earth about righteousness, to stop righteousness coming and redeeming people from the fall and sin. He hates all people. Satan hates all flesh, all humans. He hates the Jews especially, because God used them to bring salvation and deliverance in the earth. And he hates the church, the redeemed church, most of all. Why do he church hate the redeemed, blood-washed people of God more than anything, Brother Nate? Why do you think he hates them the most?
Because they have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord, and the power of the blood is covenant.
And why else do you think they hate the body of believers?
Well, because of what of the plan of salvation and redemption and what the Lord has done for them. He has been jealous of man since man been created.
Okay. Now, understand this, everybody, in the whole world. The reason Jesus Christ died and rose again and established a family, a redeemed family, a born-again children, covenant, New Testament children, they are the church, are the only authority. The believers in Christ only have the authority in the earth to bring people to salvation.
Amen.
Let me say it again. The redeemed body, born again, Holy Ghost believers are the only covenant people who can bring eternal redemption and salvation to the earth. They are the only one. They are the only one have authority against Satan, against sin, against the power of darkness. They are the only one. That's why Jesus said, I build up on this rock, I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Do you understand that? Because why Satan fears and worried about the redeemed, blood-washed, Holy Ghost, Holy Church, why he's afraid of the body, why he's scared of the every born-again, Holy Ghost-filled Christ. Why is he so scared of them? The thing that Satan wants to do to the blood-washed Christ is to keep them ignorant to who they are and talk ignorant
Amen.
To their mission. And ignore what he called them to do in the earth, because they are the only ones have authority and power to lead people to eternal salvation, and the only one that can stop the devil. If I need to say it again, nobody else has power against this spiritual power and demons and devils. Nobody else. Now the Jews, they can call on Jehovah and walk around that wall, and he's going to recognize that he's going to save them when Jesus come back and put his foot on the mountain. But they are not redeemed.
Amen.
Let me get this straight. There are redeemed Jews and unredeemed Jews. I put it that way. And what's the difference? The difference is seen in the Old Testament, Esau and Jacob. God always had two sets of parallels, the good and the evil, the covenant and the uncovenant. And the parallel is shown in the Bible, Esau and Jacob, and Ishmael, and Isaac. This two sons, one was earthly, other one was heavenly covenant. So now there's only one real Jew or Israel that can save and redeem man. They have the gospel. Why can't the natural Jew redeem the earth? Why can't the people in Palestine who are the chosen covenant people, why can't they redeem the earth? Why can't they save it? Why can't they stop the devil? Why can't they bring the kingdom of God? Jesus preached, repent, and believe the kingdom of God is here. Why can't the natural Israel do that? How can they stop the devil? The devil is afraid of every blood-washed, born-again Christian. You hear that, brother?
Amen. Amen.
They have given command to overthrow the devil. Now, let's go into a few points in the Old Testament that teaches us about the spiritual war. David and Israel fought military, physical, governmental, and spiritual wars. Let me put it back. The nation of Israel fought governmental, physical, military wars with spiritual connotations. Now, kind of enlighten me on that, brother. What kind of wars was the nation of Israel fighting, and what were they fighting against?
Well, they were fighting against enemies who were serving other gods and who was trying especially get them to serve their gods. The Philistines, many of the Moabites, and these had worshiped demonic gods, sacrificing of the children, and all that, and they was trying to implement that into Israel.
Well, all these different nations, who was over them? Who was their ruler? Who was the controlling power over them?
Oh, Satan, most definitely. Was the controlling power.
No, that could not be. They was worshiping what they thought, what they believed in their minds, and what Satan taught them. I mean, they were nice people. They were, Satan wasn't done. I mean, why you were, brother, I mean, you're daddy. Jesus.
It's true, though. Amen.
There were only one nation, one people that was worshiping and knew the one true God, Yahweh, Elohim, the God of Moses and Abraham, Isaac and Jacob and Abel, the only true God, only living God, the creator, the maker, Yah, Elohim. Only one, one people. All the rest of the gods are pagans, heathens, are called pagan and heathen and idol worshippers. Look at the Bible. You don't have to believe me. Read the Bible. You don't believe the Bible? Well, I can't do much for you there. Okay. If you don't believe the Bible, the prophets. You don't believe from Moses. You don't believe Moses. You don't believe that Israel under attack by a different nation. The demons in these nations, ruling nation, was fighting against Israel. They was God's chosen people, and they're warring against them. They want to suck them out, kill them, destroy them. Now, David, King David, I use him, was a mighty man, but he wasn't mighty because of his physical skills alone. He wasn't mighty because of his intellectual skills. He was mighty because Jehovah anointed him. Now, get this straight. Why was he mighty? Because he had a covenant with Jehovah, and he was anointed with power. Now, as king and as a warrior and a shepherd. Now, listen. And when he fought against the Philistines and Canaanites, these demonic control people, he had to have more than physical skills to overcome them, because these nations had demonic powers over them, Brother Nate.
Amen.
Principalities and powers was upping them and using them, and witchcraft and sorcery and demonology. So when they come against Israel, they wasn't just coming with by themselves. They was coming with all them demons. Demons coming with them, you know? You understand that?
Amen.
So Israel had to have more than physical or intellectual ability. They had to have the power and the covenant of Jehovah with them. Do we get that? Well, how was David to win these great military, physical, and spiritual wars, because he was fighting on three levels: physical, governmental, and spiritual wars? Now, I just used that example, for in the New Testament, there's something changed. Now, as a nation, America has to defend her liberty by physical military wars. Is that right?
Amen. Amen.
And God said, I raised up, and he called military wars in America as a calling from God to defend our liberty. So military men are defending justice, liberty, and our freedom. And actually, that is an assignment from God, that he raised the military to defend our liberty. But also, the important part is the spiritual side of it that people forget. That the spiritual part, dealing with these demons and principalities and powers that's motivating men, is very key to a nation having victory. So if they don't have people in the spiritual realm fighting the invisible forces of darkness that's over Russia, over Japan, communists, Korea, all under demonic communists, Marxists, Islam, Confucius. I'm not against the people. I'm telling you, over their culture, who's over their government and their power. They're not under the power of the living God. They're not under the power of the Holy One of Israel. They're not under the power of great Jehovah. They're under another power, because their culture and their God, they're raised up, the Japanese, good people, different culture, under a different God. Chinese, as a nation, under another God. Islam, Marxists, all of these gods, Confucius, Tao. They're under the same God that was way back there. Do you know that? They're under the same type of God. Marxism, communism, Nazism, all of that stuff is the same God of the old days, just different names. Do you get that?
Amen.
Do you understand why Germany wanted to destroy America? Why fascists, Mussolini, and the Japanese want destroyed. Most people don't know the spiritual reason. They'll just look at the natural order. They don't know what was the spiritual reason why Satan sent three great nations to capture America. I just go back in our modern century. Why would he raise up three nations to destroy America, who's a God's parody and diamond in the earth, who is special Christian nation, who is called Zion? Why the devil was so upset, wanted to destroy America and destroy Israel is his primary goal. But most of all, he wanted to destroy the redeemed church of God. If he removes the redeemed church, he can take over the world. See, most people don't know that. There's nothing that they said to stop it. Do you get it, that? Do we get it?
Amen.
Do you know why he want to remove America from studying the Bible and believing the Bible, take it out ahead of our kids in the school? He don't want them to talk about the Bible or the gospel and praise and all that. You know why? He want to get God out, get Jesus out, get the gospel out, get the Bible out, move that junk out of here, put Marxism, socialism, Sodom, what they call that, sodomite stuff, that transgender, he don't replace that with that. Because when he put that in place, bro, he take over a nation. He don't have to fire a shot. He don't have to fire a shot. If he get that mess into our culture, into America, into their school, that old sodomite gender stuff, that old racist stuff, that old communist stuff, that old socialist thinking, that old Marxist thinking, that old Islam stuff, it's over with, brother. And once that take over, the devil say, I done got it now. I'm in control.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You see them demons walking up and down in America. We got it. We got them now, and now America's turned away from the Bible. Forsaking God, just like Israelite did, just like the Israel did. America's Christian nation is forsaking Jesus and the Christ and the Bible. And now we got all these different people, Marxists, socialists, Islam, sodomites, telling us, oh, God don't mind us doing this, and this is all our natural order things. And then he got racism eating us up, bigotry, inferiority, superiority. Oh, he got all this evil that was existing among the nations is now sitting straight in America, God's Christian nation.
Amen.
Correct me if I'm wrong, brother. Correct me. Please correct me.
You're right. Amen.
Is anybody mad out there?
They probably is. Amen.
John the Baptist made a lot of people mad when he was crying out in his day. John the Baptist, he made a whole lot. Paul made a lot of people mad. Jesus made even people more mad. I mean, Jesus made them. Christ, when he came in, they were so mad that they killed him, crucified, get rid of this guy. John the Baptist cut his head off, brother. Boo, cut your head off, John. We don't hear that, Chuck. Get out of here. The devil said, cut his head off, and that king cut his head off. That demon was in that king that cut that. I don't hear no voice crying that we'll repent, 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 Israel. Turn to the great God, Jehovah. Return to his covenant. And the king said, and that demon in there, and that old herald said, cut that head off. So he done talk, said some stuff about me. I got to cut his head off. Okay.
Amen.
So Satan is warring, using nations to war against righteous nations and Christian nations. Now, America has fallen. Do you think America has fallen away, like Israel has fallen away, Israel fall away?
Yeah, she has big time, brother.
And I want to tell you one thing. I love people that love their country, love this nation, and I appreciate it. But I want to tell you, brother, saluting the flag ain't going to save America. It's good. It's a good social government thing. We should salute and respect our flag. But saluting that flag, it ain't going to save us from the devil. It's a good thing we can do now. Respect your government, respect your flag, but it ain't going to stop the devil. So, it's good to keep our nation respected, to honor respect. I believe in that. Now, let's go. Where's the people or anybody out there want to participate, or any sister or any woman or anyone can call in, participate with prayer? And so, this war, and I want to fast forward in the next 10 minutes to find out the spiritual war that's going in the world against nation and against the body of Christ and against Israel and against America. The spiritual war, because Satan must do two things if he want to rule in the earth. He got to destroy the Christian church and compromise, which he's doing. He got to destroy America from her first love, the Constitution, just liberty and justice for all. And he got to destroy Israel, Jewish, God's chosen people in Israel. Once he do that, he got the world. He take over all the world. Do you get
it? Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wow. So why do we need Holy Ghost revival? To save a world or a nation. The military might can't save a nation by itself. Don't you see they dropped bombs over here on America 9/11 and nobody knew it? Knew why they were able to do that? Because America had lost her favor and her standing with God, and the enemy could just come in and drop bombs. And we understand the spiritual part of a nation is more important to be their defense or deliverer. And that's why David knew Jehovah and kept his covenant, a righteous man, and led Israel to many victories as long as they obeyed the Lord God. And he fought these three battles against the satanic powers and nations of earth. Now America, she won the victory over Japan, over Nazi German Hitler and Marxism. Do you think that they won it just because they had the military might? No, because the Lord fought with them, and they won the victory over the evil, the three cabals. That's how they won those three, the war, the World War One and two to three and all of that. Okay. Get that straight. Just
Amen.
Because you think you have military, you're a strong America, you don't need God, you're just going to win. Well, you see where America is not winning now? Because they have forsaken God, the living God. All right. I got to get this one scripture in as we talk about the war between the power of darkness and the power of evil on the earth. In that redeemed church that he raised up to stop Satan and bring in the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Christ in the earth, the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians to the redeemed Christians, what does he say? 10 and verse 4 and 5. Now, there's a lot more in between as we come into the New Testament. Satan was defeated by Jesus in three areas. Christ defeated Satan in death, in life, and in the grave. He conquered death, conquered Satan, took the keys to death and hell, redeemed us, crushed every power on the earth. He laid down his life and took it up again. Now, in the spiritual realm, a lot of people don't understand what Jesus won, what he preached for his devil. Even the church that's supposed to be his, they don't fully comprehend it. Now, in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 and 5, the Apostle Paul, in training the believers in Christ, giving them equipment and training and revelation, he says something very important in this conflict of our flesh against God, our carnal flesh, and about demonic powers. Our greatest enemy is our flesh, our own carnal flesh. Then the second greatest is the power of darkness and demons. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 and 5. Paul writes the letters to the redeemed, trained church that he was equipping and training for war. What kind of war are we to fight? The spiritual sons of God in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians, verse 10 and what? 4 and 5, right?
Right. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
Now, Jesus said something very strange in Luke. As you turn to Luke, as he was training this team that he had put together, these 12 apostles and 72 disciples, this team he had to assemble, he called this team. And he called this team, because you can't win without a team, really. And people don't understand that you can't win without a team working together. Michael Jordan, in the natural world of sports, they always, you know, putting all the achievement on Michael. But Michael could hardly do very little without a team. Is that right?
Amen.
So they put all the accolades on Michael. Now, he was the leader, but he couldn't do it by himself unless he had a team working together. Is that right?
Amen.
Now, Michael Jordan was running down the floor for the first 6 or 7 years, and he was scoring, and he put all the points, and he was doing all that, but he could not win without a team. You get that?
Amen.
A team that was working together with him, right? Fitted together.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
So he was just running, and he was frustrated, and he was being the scoring champion and the disc champion, but he couldn't win. He couldn't get into the playoff, and he couldn't win the title. He was doing all that great work. Michael Jordan don't deserve all the accolades, brother. His team. Do you get that? Now, he deserves to be leader to motivating and leading his team as one of the leaders, but you forget about the one that helped him get there, Scottie Pippen, and who else? Grant and Rodman, and they don't get all of the, you know, why don't they get it? Because he couldn't got there without
Amen.
Them.
Amen.
So in the church, in the body of Christ, it's not just the leaders alone. They are to give direction and the equipment, but they can't accomplish it by themselves. Jesus couldn't do it. He needed 12 apostles, a team. Now, the Bible said in Ephesians to the Christians, in the 6th chapter, verse 4 and 5, that the Christians are not fighting physical wars. They don't. The military fights physical wars in our nation. But the Christian has a greater job and assignment. They don't fight fleshly human against flesh, human against human, flesh against flesh. They don't go shooting one another, get mad at one another. That's not their war. They don't war in the flesh. They don't war using guns or weapons against one another. There's another war that's going on against the powers of darkness, demonic control. And Christians have the greater responsibility of fighting these wars. Ephesians says to all Christians, put on the whole armor of Christ. Why would you need to put on the whole armor of Christ, brother? We operate in love. We operate in peace and joy and all that. Why would we have to be made warriors? Now the Christian got to be learning how to be a warrior. So what's
Amen.
With that?
Amen.
So that's, understand, if we're going to win this spiritual battle, we think America is in a political battle. Oh, it's a political battle. Yeah, well, that's a natural side of it. Oh, we're in a social battle. Well, that has some, you know, some credentials about temporary and natural things, but we're talking about the real battle, the real war,
yes,
the real enemy.
Yes.
All right. Hello, Sister Anderson. Welcome.
God bless you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Where's the other lost sheep hiding over there? She's busy cooking or something or going on a mission, because she be gone all the time. That child be gone, boy. I commend that child. She be gone. She be gone so much. The traveling evangelist, what's her name? Sister Helen Teagle. Wow. But, all right, sister. I done took up more of your time. And this war.
Yes.
This spiritual war that only the redeemed church, the redeemed on assignment, can do. Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, verse 17, when he got through training and preparing his team called the apostles and disciples, he was teaching them. He says, I'm training you, getting you ready to learn how to war and war against the enemy. He said, now, the only way the earth is going to be delivered is not just by physical military might. Israel thought that, and they found they lost many battles when they forsook Jehovah. They couldn't win. They were put in bondage. They lost. So America is in the same condition. America is in the same condition now spiritually. So when Jesus taught and equipped his team, He got his team together, and he says, I give unto you authority and power over all the powers of the enemy. What enemy are you talking about? Jesus said to his disciples, I give you authority. Then he says, I'm going to give you something else. I'm going to give you power.
Yes.
So Jesus had to give them two things, authority, spiritual authority, and power.
Mm-hmm.
Understand they both are needed to win.
Yes.
And
mm-hmm.
he says, I give you power to tread on scorpions and serpents. What you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
You talking about little scorpions that's crawling on the earth? No, not talking about that.
Mm-mm.
I'm treading on serpents and scorpions and all the, then he said, all the power of the enemy, of the devil.
Yes. Amen.
Okay. All right, Sister Allison, I took up the women's time. So
we got Sister Helen on, too. God bless Sister Helen.
God bless.
Oh, that's the one. Hello, Sister Helen. Welcome you, both of you.
All right.
Yes, indeed. Taking the kingdom of God has been called to take dominion. Do you know what the word divided and separated, kingdom?
Mm-hmm.
When we talk about bringing the kingdom of God, not just the church is the initial, but the final conclusion of God's plan is the kingdom of God. That's why the last message in the world from the church is called Matthew 24:14-12.
Mm-hmm.
Go preach what? The king gospel of the kingdom into all the world. Then shall the end come.
Yes.
Not the gospel of the church, but the gospel of the kingdom. That's a little difference now. There is a little difference. Both of them are important, but there is a little difference. It has to do with dominion and territory and taking dominion and rule. Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Having dominion. Mm-hmm. Romans 8 and Romans 5 tells the Christian about taking dominion and rule. Because we have an enemy over the world and over the nations and over streets and over cities and over homes and over lives, a enemy with his encroaching enemy. Now, I want to go on, sister. I'm sorry, both of y'all, go on. I'll give you all your time.
Mm-hmm.
And so that your time is to go forth in whatever the Lord give you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just want to continue on the great blessing that the word that has gone forth so far, because even as you was talking about the scriptures and I was following from the beginning, and the Lord tells us, you know, why we have to be armed, why we have to put on that, the whole armor of God. And he had given it to me like last year, why we have to put on that full armor of God. And that when we pray and we pray that the Lord cover us in his precious blood and cover us from the crown of our head to the soles of our feet, it's a place that we have to be in order for him to do that. A place with God that we have to be in. And when he tell us, you know, that to put on that whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the earth. And then he goes on to tell us, because the weapons of our warfare is not carnal. I mean, we're not just fighting against man out there or each other. We are doing that too. But he's letting us know that, you know, we're fighting a spiritual war. The Lord also has given it to me like late last year, early this year, you know, to get in the scripture and search and read about the warfare prayers, because that's what we are fighting. It's a spiritual war that we are fighting. And then earlier when you mentioned how, you know, it's a team, I thought about when you was talking about the team and how the 12 and how, you know, even in the scriptures when God called the 12 disciples. And he said that in, he spoke that when he spoke in Luke, and he told them, he called the 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority. power and authority. And through the midnight cry, that last warning, the word of the Lord, and, you know, the Lord is telling us how we can arm ourselves. And we would read that word, including myself, read that word and meditate on it and take it unto us. You know, the word tells us that we should have that word down in us, and when we need it, that it'll come up out of us like rivers of living water. And we got to get that down in us, because he says when he called his 12 together, 12, which is God's number, again, the brother was talking about, he said he gave them power and authority over all devils and curses and diseases, which is, and I have learned, and thank God for you men of God, I have learned that when we come to the Lord and we repent, I mean, I know I came and I sincerely, and I do it daily, I repent daily. You know, but I have also learned that because we repent, that we are not delivered from the curses and diseases. We have to go and learn that and give those up too, you know, to tell the Lord, you know,
yeah,
through his precious blood. You know,
yeah.
I talk to the Lord and I tell the Lord, you know, because of his shedded blood and because of his grace. You know, he said that healing is the children's blood, that these things belong to me. They belong to me. I honestly go before the Lord on a daily basis, and I repent before him, because I tell you, we can't name the things that we have done. We don't know and remember the things that we have done. And I thank him.
Amen.
I just talk to the Lord and tell him known and unknown, and tell him to show me myself. Because if we get in that word, not only did he tell us that we can go and arm ourselves, and then we can come out fighting. We can come forth fighting, he said, because he's going to give us power and authority. And I'm not talking about the priesthood authority. I'm talking about the authority that he have given every man and woman and some children that are under the blood and know what they are fighting against, can get under that blood of Jesus and get the authority to fight and come against that devil, because it belongs to us, because God sent his son down on the earth for a mission, and I thank God that he went through and he did not fail us, and I don't want to be one to fail him. And I talked to the Lord.
Amen.
And let the Lord to help me to remember the covenant that I have made with him.
Help
me,
Lord,
to remember that covenant, you know, and go before the Lord,
me, Lord,
in supplication and in the spirit of the Lord. And I repent daily. I repent daily, because, you know, I don't know. You know, a mind, this mind is a deceitful thing. And that's why the Lord has given it to me about putting on that full armor. And the first thing he said, put on that helmet of salvation. Because, you know, you can let things get in your mind. And if they stay in your mind, that's why you have to know and rebuke these things from your mind. Because they will get in your heart and they will affect them. But the Lord said, put on that breastplate of righteousness. And then he said, girdle yourself. And he wants us to girdle ourselves with that word, that we would know that we are not fighting against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And I thank and I praise the Lord for teaching me the warfare plan, that devil.
Thank
and
you,
his
Lord Jesus.
Team, because, trust me, that devil has a
praise his name.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Well, I thank the Lord for the word that went forth on the night, to the conversation that have went forth. And, you know, and I just thank the Lord, you know, what Brother Nathaniel and Brother Lee was talking, and, you know, about the whole armor of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And that when you like in the army, and, you know, and you have to have on all of these plates, all of these weapons, war plates on, and how they were saying that you got to be trained, and that's how you have to train yourself, you know, like in the word of God, and, you know, and knowing that the word of God is going to stand for us, and we have to train ourselves to the point that you know that that word of God will stand for you, because if you don't know that of God will stand for you, we will be shaken, you know, something, you know, that the Lord have to teach you, you know, and he will teach you, and to see and know how that word will stand and how that word will come alive and be so real that, you know, that nothing can penetrate, you know, that word, you know, that's through your training in acknowledging that word and speaking that word and trying to stand on that word. And you know what? And I thank the Lord, you know, for that word, you know, that have went forth, you know, on tonight. Mm-hmm. And I truly thank you. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Now, there's much to be learned about spiritual warfare. The three things that we're going to have to learn over the time is about intercession, spiritual warfare, and deliverance. Now, they are interconnected, but they're not the same. They are interconnected. Intercession often leads into spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare leads into deliverance. Now, there is some sickness and disease that are called directly by demons. And the person cannot be made whole until the demon is dealt with. Some things are directly by spirit. That's why Jesus, when he spoke to certain things, he said, "Thou spirit of infirmity, thou spirit of deaf or dumb, come out." So a lot of times when people want to bring healing in such a way, not in every any case, but instead they should be praying or led to pray about the spirit that caused it. See, cancer is a curse and a spirit. Medical doctors look at the natural side of disease, and that's okay. But the physician in Christ look at both sides.
Thank you, Jesus.
The physicians in Christ. The physicians in this world, they do a lot of great jobs. And God raised them up. Thank God for them. But the physicians in Christ, they look at the dark side, the spiritual side, which Satan oftentimes calls direct things. That's why Jesus did a lot of deliverance. Now, most people think Jesus just healed. He did more than heal. He delivered. And the deliverance is very important in order for a person to be made whole. Now, listen, as we get off, when we talk about spiritual warfare, why all born-again, saved, Holy Ghost-filled people have to understand the power of the resurrection. Now, they, you notice what Paul said, to know Jesus in the power of his death, but you must know the power of his resurrection. In other words, you know what the blood redeemed us from. But in order to get there, that's the power of his resurrection. You get that?
Amen.
So Jesus, when he gave his team, he called his 12 apostles and called other disciples, and he trained and equipped them and told them about the spiritual warfare they were encounter against their work and message. And he says, "I give you authority and power." Luke 10, verse 10, "I give you authority and power." Now, why is he giving the church, the Israel church, authority and power? Well, we don't have to. Why is he giving us authority? He said, "The weapons of your warfare." Why are you giving us weapons of warfare? Paul said, "The weapons of your warfare, the weapons of your warfare, the weapons of your warfare are mighty through God." When it was brought to my attention, when I look at the military, civil, physical, and spiritual war that David fought in order to deliver Israel, because he fought all three levels. And we are going to pray the revelation prayers next time that David prayed in order to win all of these great battles that he fought against nations and people and individuals. there are several prayers that David prayed are called spiritual dynamic battle wars.
Okay.
But I want you, as we close, to understand the type in the Old Testament is a type and shadow, teaching us how the Christians, the believers, the New Testament, are to fight spiritual battles. They don't have to fight the physical part of battle. The military in the nation, they do that. But there is a mental and a mental, intellectual battle goes on, as well as a spiritual one in America. The intellectual battle is trying to convince you through their education and mind that we can conquer anything intellectually by our education. No, you can't conquer everything by your intellect.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry about that. I don't care how smart you go to Harvard, which is great, it's wonderful, and we need that. But you can't conquer the kingdom of darkness by that. I said you can't conquer sin and the nature of sin by that.
Amen.
You can't deal with the demons and the demonic power by your intellect.
Yeah.
Okay?
Amen.
Even
That's
though
right.
intellect plays a part in our world. Now, listen. I want you all to study in your prayer time First Chronicles.
First Chronicles, okay.
I didn't say First Corinthians. This is in the Old Testament because most people, they look at First Corinthians and say, oh, you're talking about First Corinthians? No, I said First Chronicles in the Old Testament.
You got about, you got about 3 minutes, brother.
First Chronicles.
Yes.
Okay. I want you to in your time, First Chronicles, 11th chapter, in the 12th chapter.
Okay.
When it was brought to me, Kirkham, he said the only way David, God had to use men in his army who were anointed for war.
Okay.
And I want you to wonder why David was so special. There is an anointing that God gave these men for special battles and war. Go see, read what the Lord gave David and children of Israel. He gave special men who were born, called, and anointed for battle. Special anointed men to win those wars against great odds.
Okay.
One man could kill 300 people. And one man could go into battle and just slay 300 people by himself, one. How was he able to do that? We're going to study about that, how these men in the army of David were called special battle acts. They were called special warriors, anointed of God. They had to have the anointing of God to war.
Yeah.
So we are going to have an anointing to war.
Amen.
So you, okay. These are special. The messenger, the angel says, there are people who are called special callings. Now, look in the messenger. He says there are people who are called with special callings. And we haven't taught on these special callings. But anyway, we'll get to it. We'll get to it now and then. So as we close, we invite anyone that's listening, we invite you and open outdoor faith to you to now become a part of the family of Christ or become a citizen of the kingdom of God by faith. If you confess your sins and repent and recognize that you are a sinner, lost, and cut off from God, and you want him to be in your life and you be in him, you can make a decision tonight. And you can say, the Lord Jesus, you're the Savior, man. You're the Redeemer. You are the Redeemer. But more, you redeemed us, but you also vindicated us by your sacrifice on Calvary and rose again. So I'm asking you, Lord Jesus, to come make yourself known in my life, change my life, deliver me. I put my trust in you to become a family of God. Come live your life in me, redeem me from the curse of sin and death. And also, he will redeem you from sickness, disease, poverty, and oppression. That's part of the package that you can have.
Yeah.
So everyone out there today, make a decision. Make Jesus your Lord. Just call upon Jesus. Say, Lord, I just believe that you're the Savior of the world, and I come to invite you in my life. And then, you know, that's the first and most important thing, to believe that he died and rose again. And you can make a decision today and receive eternal life by saying, Jesus, be my Lord and my Savior, be my Redeemer. I trust you, your death, and your resurrection.
Yes,
and then,
amen.
Of course, water baptism must come after that, but it's not the first thing. It's the second thing.
Yes.
And don't miss the first yes. thing trying to run to the second thing because you might miss something.
Amen.
We love you today. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes Romans says. That's what we believe. We are the Church of Christ with Elijah Message, 608 Laser Road. I'm aligned. Just if I want to know, I'm aligned with 608 Laser Road, that branch, in 608
Amen.
The headquarters. Just in case
Amen.
Somebody confused where I stand, what a branch I stand with. Well, I'm not afraid to say, well, I make my commitment, and that is so. And I
Amen.
Hopefully I'm led of God. So everybody be blessed today. We love you. We're glad to hear you. Keep on your mission. Keep on your God. Keep on your faith. Thank God for Brother Nathaniel Hunt, who's on the line declaring the news. Brother Nate, listen to him daily from day to day at 7 o'clock or 6 o'clock every morning, 7 and 6, 7 o'clock every evening. Brother Nate, bringing the prophecy and word to the nation, Brother Nathaniel Hunt. So please, everyone, turn in and pray for our brother that he continue in faith.
Amen. Amen.
Praise be to God. We thank God for another blessed broadcast. Thank God for all you've been listening. Lord said the same next week we'll be starting on a new series, Health, Healing, Sickness, and Disease. And we thank God for all of you that will be tuning in to that. We thank God for all you've been listening tonight. As for Brother Lee, Brother Nate, Sister Anza, and Sister Teague, we love you all. God bless you. God keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless.